Welcome to the GD Spirit Pub for rebel souls, earth angels, and courageous hearts.
Because we believe we chose this crazy human existence, we're here to ponder upon the challenges, the meaning, and purpose.
Cheers to you for tuning in to your soul.
And joining us at the GD Spirit Pub for a pint of joy and to enlighten up.
All right, then. Welcome. Welcome to the GD Spirit Pub. We are here at Chez Bouchard in a rainy day. Kind of in the cave, but in a good way, right?
We are. We are in the cave. It feels awesome. It's raining out. Mercury's retrograde.
And we're loving it.
We're loving it.
And so the title, that kind of segues into the topic of our show today is when you are in the cave, you might as well decorate it. But and that's our funny little joke. But really what we're talking about is darkness. And when we feel that disconnected, scary, I am in the dark and I don't understand what's going on, and our instinct is to run and change it. It's the cause of addiction in many cases. It causes a lot of heartache.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the resistance and the running causes a lot of heartache. And what we're hoping to talk about today is, you know, when it's okay.
Yeah, just hang curtains in that cave. And
okay to be in the darkness for a while and to not be, you know, this happy little fluffy light in the world all the time. It just doesn't happen that life isn't like that. Well, Julie and I were talking about how incarnating and you know, we came from the Spirit Pub, which is a light filled place, a spirit filled place, right?
So blissful. No yeah. Death, no taxes, no nothing.
Just a big party.
Woo-hoo, it's
everybody's
easy.
Happy. And then like we come into the big dark here. And
the eviscerator is very dark.
Eviscerator. I love that. That is quite an image, right?
It is. It must be like that. We think it's going to be squashed. One of those wonderful water slides. And then, oof, darkness hits.
Yeah. So Julie had some thoughts that I thought we'd start with.
Some thoughts about...
Deep thoughts.
Because the
deep
cave...
Deep thoughts by Julie.
The cave can be a momentary or hourly thing. It can be a long thing in the beginning of our lives of... Like for me, the darkness was my dwarfism. And that blinded me initially to my light, to... the goodness around me.
The light around you, yeah.
And I thought that was a nightmare, but now looking back and realizing that's the reason for the dark night is to remember.
I have a quote for you.
Oh, perfect.
See, usually Julie is misquote, but I actually did my homework.
I love the quotes.
Yeah. But this one, we really liked before.
And, is this and Mary Oliver?
No, this is the Rumi.
Oh.
What hurts you blesses you. Darkness is your candle. And we were like, what?
Whoa,
Julie literally like braced herself and said, wait, what? It's a little bit destabilizing, that whole thought.
Yeah, darkness is our candle. We are the candle in the dark, remembering ourselves.
Right.
Thus the heavy duty Spirit Pub covenant, thy shall forget.
Yeah.
Thy shall hate thyself. And these mini dark caves or truly dark nights of the soul do end up being incredibly wise teachers. But boy, did I spit and kick and
I still ask the question, and I think you do too. Why? What? Well, you have a better philosophy about it, but I still am a little bit cranky about the fact that we chose to forget, you know?
Well, if we knew we were light, how could we embrace the adventure?
Yeah, okay, sort of, maybe, I don't know.
Or, how about this way? If I knew I'd been your mother, partner, and we had all these lives and dimensions, and we would be really confused.
Well, I am confused most of the time anyway, so, you know, come on.
Okay, here's another idea.
All right.
Every one of us who incarnates is totally unique. Fingerprint, toe print, earprint, retina. Mm-hmm. Never to be again. So we're adding to the consciousness. So Eckhart Tolle said, we are the universe becoming conscious. And your perspective is completely unique to mine. You've been through many caves and darknesses, and you bring to that a new light, a new vision. I do too. We're all adding, ever expanding. So God isn't this static, or the universe isn't this static, done, perfect thing that we are stretching toward. We're actually part of the creation, the ongoing creation. We couldn't be if we remembered we were bliss, if we remembered we were in trouble with the remember, because remembering is so hard. We knew we were light beings, never to be harmed, infinite. How could we understand that this darkness is part of the Olympics, the Olympic, the mother of all Olympics that we joined?
Well, and it's sort of, it's one of those things that I'm sure in the spirit pup, you know, we're up there like, okay, all right, this is going to be fun, right? We're going to have fun, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to do this, and we're going to, like,
nothing to lose,
become enlightened, and it's going to be fun. And, you know, then we get here, we're like, what? It's taken quite a bit to wake up and remember.
And yet, after each time where we really get slammed and blinded and knocked down, I lost the use of my right shoulder. I'm righty. I was an artist. I had a business making a meager living, but still so important to my definition of myself. I lost it because of the arthritis that comes with my dwarfism. I was 33. I thought, this is it. I'm toast. Dead in the water.
I remember, were devastated.
And guess what? That led to, I started writing. Didn't know I was a writer. Really never liked writing. Didn't even like reading until I left school and started reading what I wanted. And started writing out of sheer desperation. Sharing over email that I was lost. I was a goner, and got the responses back from friends like Meg saying, yeah, like, me too. Those powerful words, me too. Yeah. And as we shared and I started to feel connected,
you found out you weren't alone in the cave.
Yeah, I'm not alone in the cave. We can decorate together.
How much boy, more did fun we. Is that? Yeah.
Meg is a great interior decorator. It's where her creativity really shines. Give her a dark cave and she will create Princessville.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So the cave has its purpose to help us remember, which is really a paradox, but we have to take that time. Makes me think of you've got to feel it to heal it. Grieve it to leave it. Mm-hmm. You've got to be there present with the dark and all of the scary, scary belief systems, BS, that have been created because of the dark.
So it's sort of like a process. I know I spent a lot of time in my early years avoiding the discomfort of life, right? Which was part of my alcoholism. Like, oh no, that's scary, not doing it.
Right, that hurts.
And So we go to great lengths to avoid certain things.
Because in the pain, the purpose emerges. And in the pain, if you just like Pema says, the pain is the clouds. It's the weather. The sun is there. We are the sun behind the clouds. So if we just observe that pain instead of identify with it.
Going to the process and how... Really, I think to get to the sunlight of the spirit, we do have to experience the dark, the cloud, the rainy day, the cave. And speaking of Pema, my old spiritual teacher and my AA sponsor, who is in the other plane at this point, Jean Brookwell, she gets credit, but I'm telling you, every time I called her and started whining about him, scared, I'm sad, blah blah blah,
it's never gonna work out,
she would like be like, well, Pema Chodron says. And I'd be like, oh, come on with this. As far as I was concerned, Pema Chodron was just all about dark and dismal, you know, feeling good about the darkness. So when we talked about this issue, I immediately started looking for Pema. So here's something she did, right, that resonated with me on this topic. Feelings like disappointment, embarrassment, irritation, resentment, anger, jealousy, and fear, instead of being bad news, are actually very clear moments that teach us where it is that we're holding back. They teach us to perk up and lean in when we feel we'd rather collapse and back away. They're the messengers that show us, with terrifying clarity, exactly where we're stuck. This very moment is the perfect teacher. And lucky for us, it's with us wherever we are.
There you go.
So, you know, I mean, I think it's also a matter of we assign and define good or bad, right? And so how often, like your shoulder thing was devastating. And, you know, when you first start experiencing, I mean, that was the worst thing that ever happened to you. And you thought, my life is over.
I did.
But then, like, it turned out not to be the worst thing that ever happened to
you. And in a way, to get my attention, it had to be about my art, which I had identified as me. That's the best part of me. And my body, again, identified as my my nemesis, a hateful thing, had to learn to love it, had to, I mean, there was just so much packed into that and symbolically. And when I went back to those wounds and those traumas and started to dissect them as I wrote my memoir, the healing of just looking at that darn pain I'd been running from. That's enough to open your heart right there.
You know, and I think that's partly what happens in the dark, in the exercise, and it's part of
the exorcism.
I think, growing, the exorcism. You know, we go in there like, oh, I don't want to see these things about myself.
Right.
I don't want to experience the pain
or claim
the anger
and say,
or identify it even. It's a boogeyman. I don't know. And then, like, you look and you're like, oh, all right. So it's just human? Like, what?
Right.
You know, I went through that as an alcoholic in recovery. It's part of the process.
Go into the cave with someone.
Yeah, that was the other thing, is you don't go alone.
Do not go alone.
I mean,
of course we
obviously are. On some level we do, but in the 12-step process there is a mechanism for you. You get solid with your higher power, so you really are never alone. And when you're solid and you know that you're not alone, then you're able to go into that cave. And you work with a sponsor or a mentor, spiritual mentor, whatever you want to call it. And they do, you know, walk with you through it. You do the work. You do the work and you recognize it. Nobody's going to stand there and say like, oh, okay, so now you've learned that blah, 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 blah. No, you identify it, you learn it, and they reflect from their own experience. But
and taking responsibility starts to feel freeing versus taking blame.
Empowering.
It's empowering. That's its craziest darn thing. Because I wanted to blame the world for hating my body, for teasing me, for humiliating me. Wanted to blame the doctors. I had, and the thing
blame
is.
Blame your parents.
Oh, yeah, they got a big dose of that. And the thing was, it looked legit. Like I could have.
Oh, society would like support
right?
them.
They'd agree with us. Oh, yeah. You
that
totally
me
got
of my
gypped.
Second divorce.
I mean, we all are given the opportunity to blame and have everyone agree. But inside, I couldn't get right with it because it didn't feel like it was everyone else's fault. When I really looked at it, I went, wow, I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing with that. You're not good enough because of your body. Not that anyone ever said that directly, but there was all kinds of evidence in my mind and in my heart that I was less than.
If you look at the models that are 7 foot tall.
Oh, there was some good evidence there.
Yeah, we definitely don't measure
Which is
up.
Not to say we can't just love the way our body is. And it's amazing to me now to, I can look down at my knees with these massive scars that are stretched because they didn't quite do them right. And I can actually feel tears of gratitude for these knees that and they don't really even bend. And yet I think, oh my gosh, I was given this opportunity in this little body to live this life. And I'm so thankful to her. And I was really abusive to myself. In my younger years, you and I spent a lot of years together just cursing our situation.
Yeah.
And then when the days come where there's, I don't know, that grace and gratitude that how did I ever put myself down for just being me, having the courage to come here like we all did, and recognizing that, yes, we will be hanging out in the cave at times. No one gets out of here unscathed because of that whole, you know, covenant that we will forget and the amnesia. But on the other hand, remembering is a beautiful
thing. Oh, it's a sweet, sweet,
sweet reunion.
Right?
Oh, lavender lemonade right there.
So you were reminding me of my second divorce. You were with me through that entire relationship.
Yeah.
And it was a painful. That was probably.
And it started out so joyful.
That was probably my first real dark night of the soul, because it was also happening in conjunction with my mother dying.
Ooh,
literally,
yeah,
within.
And pregnancy. And, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Could the universe have thrown more in your lap?
Well, and then my business was failing because there
forgot
was
about
just
that.
Like, yep, yeah, see, yeah. It was a lot Woo-hoo. Happening. And I had almost no choice. And of course, I probably designed it, because if I'd had any wiggle room, I would have avoided all of it.
Right. Do not give Megan out.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Yeah. Because we get to that end of our rope. I feel like that's what happened with my shoulder.
But as you
I
recall,
did not have an out.
Right. As you recall, my ex-husband, like, he left me in such a hideous way, in such a bad time, in such a like socially unacceptable, like, you know what, a cliche. 19-year he left with a 19-year-old receptionist.
Right.
He just left.
God.
Left me and three children and the business and my mother in the hospital dying.
Yeah.
On the anniversary of my father's death.
Mm.
And so I could list out those things
right.
And almost any woman would go, "Oh my God, let's go lynch him."
Yeah.
Like they were ready. They were like, you know, let's get the posse
we
together.
We were behind you, sure. But it doesn't make peace
no.
inside ourselves.
No.
Ultimately.
And so I milked that for a little while.
We gotta milk
I milked that.
The darkness until we start to realize
it
serves nothing.
Hardest time. And then one of my other beautiful spirit, I called her my Jewish grandmother, Judy Ross. She just kind of came up to me one day and said, "Honey,
you done yet?
When are you going to take some responsibility?"
Oh.
And I was like, "What? What?
Did you not see my list of what he did?"
Yeah, but he. Mm. And she said, "Uh-uh, you're not going to be free of this until, you know." I was like, "Oh my God, she's right."
Yeah.
And that took a lot of work and a lot of digging. And like you know, you did your memoir. I just did a lot of, you know, crying.
Yeah. And yeah, during my memoir, that was part of my grief process. Everybody has their process. And I didn't know writing would be mine, but it sure is today.
Yeah.
It's one of the first things I do when I'm messed up in my head and Michael Singer of the Untethered Soul calls it the roommate, that voice in your head that's like, "You idiot, I can't believe you did that," and gives you horrible advice.
That roommate.
And when you got to shut the roommate up, that either meditating, just closing your eyes actually slows our brain waves so that we're not listening to the BS and we start to realize, maybe the cave is not where I have to stay.
And Eckhart Tolle, and I don't remember the exact thing, but he talks about physiologically what happens in one deep breath.
Oh.
Just bringing
one right now.
Deep breath, yeah.
And even more so if you close your eyes, literally the amygdala goes, boo.
Really?
It powers down. Yeah, that's science. That is not woo-woo-ery.
Woo-woo-ery. I love it, woo-woo-ery. That's a new thing. Oh my God. Well, that you know,
we're segueing right into how, once we're climbing, clawing, digging out of the cave, what are some coping mechanisms?
I think I think one of the first things that we need to do is identify, like, we're in the cave.
Mm,
and
right?
Like, you know, if you're not in danger, then I think we have to accept where we are and stop trying to change it.
Right.
You know, from there, we can, and I also think the sooner we accept and stop fighting it, the sooner we get out of the cave.
Yeah.
You know, do the work.
Because, right, if you, the quote is, you bury it in the backyard, pops up in the front. You know, everything we've suppressed, which we've all done it because we are human and we have that contract of amnesia. So whatever you've suppressed, and when I say you, I mean me, we all have it, but sitting quietly in that cave, guess what? It starts to bubble up. It's painful. But if we don't identify again with it as us, just as emotion moving like the clouds, we will sooner see, oh, is there a silver lining? Could it possibly be?
Well, there are always, always pearls of healing.
Read the Mary Oliver one.
Okay, the Mary Oliver. Yeah, we discussed this before. Someone I love once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this, too, was a gift. And I will just follow up by saying that the whole episode with my ex-husband leaving, and it was very traumatic for a lot of reasons. You know, and in the end, I realized it wasn't really him. It was this illusion and this picture of like, oh, you know, that he represented that I believed was more important than obviously it was. I recognized that whole thing is a gift, and I wouldn't change a thing now.
Yeah. And that's freedom right there.
Very liberating.
When you exit that cave, even if it's only for an hour, here and there, a little glimpse of light, any little bit of silver lining, responsibility, breath will then draw you out more and more.
Well, there's lots of sparkly things that start to occur.
Squirrel.
Well, you know, then I was thinking of a time when I called Jean, my AA sponsor, spiritual mentor of many years. I called Jean really, really angry. You know when you're vibrating with rage? You're like, I just can't.
It must be somebody's fault.
Yeah, and I called her up and I'm like, and she said, oh, I think you need to meditate on that. And I thought, are you kidding me? The last thing I can do is sit quietly and meditate. And, you know, she gave me one of her long stories about, you know, meditating when she felt like she couldn't in some painful situation and how she was given this gift. I thought, well, okay, I like gifts. I'm going to do it. And I don't remember the situation or whatever, but I have always remembered that lesson. And it seems impossible when you're in some dark, negative or seemingly negative place, whether it's anger or sadness or whatever.
Yeah, love that saying about I sat long enough with my anger until she told me her name was grief.
Oh yeah.
But it could be, you know, her name was fear. Her name was whatever, anything that we've suppressed because it's just too scary and it's too vulnerable and we couldn't handle it as a child and we pushed it away and it starts coming up and we go, anything but that. And yet sitting with it is, it's like sitting with a child who's having a tantrum. It's really important to say, like, you go for it, let it out. And then so, tears would always come. When I was angry, there were tears that were hidden.
Yes. And so there's something about being present without changing.
Or judging.
And so sometimes presence is uncomfortable in a certain situation. And I think I want to clarify that if someone is seriously clinically depressed, we're not talking about clinical depression. We're not telling someone who is suicidal that they need to stay in the dark.
Right, you know? Hang out in that cave.
That's not what we're talking about here at all. And I think sometimes we misuse the words depression, you know, when really what we are is sad, and that's legitimate. And if we sat long enough with it, we'd go, oh, yeah, I'm really, really bummed out about this. Jean used to call depression deep processing. And
macrobiotics used to call it cleansing.
That was like having a bad cold, right?
Well, we're cleansing emotion that we before rejected, numbed ourselves to, ran from. So I kind of liked that description. They also called getting a cold cleansing, cancer cleansing.
Remember we used to call each other a bum cleansing.
I'm cleansing.
Yeah, have a cold. So not saying that someone with clinical, serious mental illness and depression or whatever, we're not diagnosed, we're not talking about that. And I think I've been blessed. I think I've had a depressive personality for a large I go, and some
we
of
can
it's,
get hit hard.
Right, some I of think. It's my creative personality, and you, I think, relate
exactly.
to that.
Exactly. And introverted, sensitive. Yeah. We've got our antenna out because we think that will protect us, and meanwhile, we're just charged up on other people's feelings.
But I've been fortunate to not experience what I know other people have in terms of serious clinical
depression. Yeah, can't get out of bed. Well, I have those days.
I have those days too, but for some reason, I've been able to use some of the strategies that you and I have learned over the years in terms of, well, and Jean would say, she give yourself permission to feel like crap,
and
to pull the covers
that,
over your head.
Right.
Eat chocolate ice cream for a day. I mean, don't stay in it. Yeah. But give yourself some space to do that. And usually that is like, as soon as I do it, don't need to do it anymore.
Right. And I love Byron Katie's work called The Work, who basically says, you know, inquire about what are you thinking? What are you believing that brings that darkness on? And it's usually very old belief systems that are causing the suffering. It's not the external circumstances, like my dwarfism, like your divorce. It's deeper beliefs about, well, what does life look like without my, what I called my soulmate? Mm-hmm. What does life look like in this body that other people say isn't good enough? Can I change my beliefs? Yeah, but they feel like truth. And so when she inquires, and I love her quote about, I love everything I think, and I'm never tempted to believe it. Mm-hmm. She literally seems like this enlightened being who just allows thought, does not get attached to it, inquires, is that true? Is that really true? How do I feel without that thought? Mm. Where do I feel it in my body? Because then when you remove the thought and the tension goes away, you go, huh, maybe I was causing that suffering. Hard to take the responsibility, and yet the freedom from doing
empowerment,
that. Yeah. It's the truth.
Well, then we have the opportunity to fix it. Like, can you fix your dwarfism? Could I really make that guy not, run away from me?
Right, if it was his fault, there's nothing you could do.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I looked at my own stuff, that's when I became free of the whole resentment that was weighing me down.
Indeed.
And, I actually made amends to that guy.
Yeah.
Before. Who I blamed so openly for so many years, and he took it. He really took it.
So what's your number one go-to when you're feeling blue or down or dark or going, oh,
I
no.
I have a couple of people in my world like you, a couple of other people too, that I can call and say, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's happening. Who don't try to change it. This is really important for me.
Right.
I can cry and scream and kick, and they listen, and you listen, and you don't try it. You're not afraid of it, and you give me permission to just like, hey, ride this out. I'm right here.
Validation with a capital V.
Yeah.
Very important. But if you don't have that, then go outside. Because the earth and its creatures and the bird song, isn't that incredible?
Children,
medicine?
Animals, I mean, they're like cheating, you know what I mean? And when I had kids.
Is there such a thing?
Right. When I had kids, I found it sometimes very hard to be around them when I was in that mode. But it always pulled me back it's very grounding in a way. And it's not to say like when you're in the cave, you're in there like all the time, forever, that's it, you're never coming out. You know, when I had small children and was going through that divorce, it was like these waves, and I would have to kind of rally and come out and make dinner and be a mom. And then I would go back into my cave and, you know,
self-care.
So it's possible to live and function and go in and out and many times in a day.
Indeed.
So again, running out of time. Conversations are getting good.
Ah, and breathing. Oof, deep breathing. Always.
Now, did I read the Jung quote?
No.
Should I read the Jung quote, Carl Jung?
We love Carl.
We love Carl.
Carl. There's always a Carl.
There's always a Carl. He said, people will do anything, no matter how absurd, in order to avoid facing their own souls. One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. So we leave you with that thought. Do you have anything you want to say or read?
Joseph Campbell, we love him, yeah. Says, yes, the please. Cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek.
Well, and with that, we hope that if you are in a cave, that you're able to decorate it while you're there.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the other side.
Light a candle. Thanks for joining us at the GD Spirit Pub.
Hope we helped you remember the gorgeous light that you are.
To find out more about the GD Spirit Pub, this podcast, Weenie Greenie Julie, or GD Meg, please visit gdspiritpub.com.
This podcast was joyfully produced by Green Divas Studio. Please look for us on iTunes as The Green Divas.
While you're there, leave us a glowing review.